us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for your mighty Spirit and for your word, and pray that you would quiet our hearts and our minds, that we would open ourselves to you, to your word for us this day, to your love and grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. When my mom and dad were married 52 years ago by a Catholic priest and a Presbyterian minister, my mom, a Presbyterian, signed a document that she would raise any children that they have as Catholics. My two sisters and I were all baptized in the Catholic Church, but the family story, the family lore, is that when we were all very young and very close in age, my dad took us all to Mass on Palm Sunday. It was a very long Mass. And he came home that day and he told my mom, "You can have this job." And we were raised Presbyterian. And my mom and dad are sitting right there. My sisters have said on more than one occasion, "Just think, Anne-Marie, you could be a nun now." I have a hard time seeing the nun part, but there are parts of the Catholic faith and tradition that are compelling to me. And confession, or the sacrament of reconciliation, is one of those things. I don't believe that I need an intermediary to carry my sins up to God and then to bring God's forgiveness down to me. But I do believe that there can be something powerful about taking that intentional time of introspection, of recognizing and naming our sins out loud to another person. I believe there can be something powerful about hearing back personal words of forgiveness and grace. But our scripture reading this morning does not start with us or with sin. It starts with God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. God is perfect and holy and good. And we are called then to live in that light. The perfect being of God has ethical consequences for us, implications for our actions and how we are to live our lives. We are to live in that light, God's light. We are to love God with all our heart and mind and strength. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And there are times that we do that well. There are times when we are walking in the light and we have this fellowship with one another that John talks about in this letter. And we know what that feels like, don't we? When we are in right relationship with each other, when we have said the things that need to be said, when we have held our tongue, when our tongues need to be held, when we have done what is good and just and right, when we have worked to help end some of the oppression and the wrong in our world, we are in good relationship with those around us, in good fellowship. And we know what it feels like when we're in right relationship with God, don't we? When we've been intentional in our time with God, trying to listen to God, study, pray, serve, some combination of those things. We feel a connection to God. Our life feels in balance. We are at peace. But for us humans, being right with each other and being right with God is hard for us to maintain. In fact, I would venture to say that for us, it is rarer than we would like. While God created all people in God's image for good, Romans 3:23 reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As much as we try, we just can't get it right all the time. We are sinful. Preacher Nadia Boltz-Weber, in talking about sin, said this. The problem, of course, is that the word sin is too often used as a synonym for being immoral. But you could live an entirely moral life, never cheating on your spouse or on your taxes. You could never break a law and be a good person and still totally be a sinner. She goes on to talk about how the idea that as humans, our tendency is to mess things up. And this tendency cannot be avoided. She says, do not be fooled into thinking that with enough therapy or meditation retreats or with the right elimination diet or with good enough intentions that you will still not mess things up. It's a part of who we are. And we know this, don't we? We can probably relate to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. We want to do the right thing. We try to do the right thing. And yet we still have a tendency to mess things up. But this is what I love about our faith. While we long for and we strive to be faithful, to live in the light, to be in right relationship with each other and with God, we know that we fall short. And we know the good news. That our mess ups and our sin are not the end of the story. These next two verses are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not sure what this says about me, but confession is one of the things I love most about the Christian faith. Maybe it says that I'm human, and that I know that no matter how hard I try, I know I'm not always getting it right. Our prayer of confession sums it up so well this morning. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. How did it feel to you to say those words this morning? Because for me, they echo true. Our prayer of confession, week after week after week, in all its various forms and litanies, there is something in there that is meaningful and real. And liberating in saying it. And I think that the reason it's liberating is that I also know deep in my being that there is nothing that can separate me or you or us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no sin big enough or small and consistent enough that makes God say, that's it. I am done with you. Nothing. And confession is one of the ways that we live out that belief. When we make our confession, we don't do it with bated breath, wondering how God's going to react this time. We do it with a trust that it is not going to be the end of our relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Instead, it is a new beginning every single time. Confession to God does not close doors. Denying our sin closes doors. Denying our sin makes us build barriers of excuses and avoidance. But confessing our sin to God opens the doors to forgiveness and new life. Confessing our sin to God builds bridges to help heal and strengthen relationships. When asked why she was still a Christian, writer Rachel Held Evans said, "I'm a Christian because Christianity names and addresses sin. It acknowledges the reality that the evil that we observe in this world is also present in us. It tells the truth of the human condition that we are not okay. At its best, the church functions much like a recovery group, a safe place where a bunch of struggling, imperfect people come together to speak difficult truths to one another. Sometimes the truth is that we have sinned as individuals. Sometimes the truth is that we have sinned corporately as a people. Sometimes the truth is we're hurting because of another person's sin or as a result of something beyond our control. And sometimes the truth is we're just hurting and we don't know why. The practice of confession gives us the chance to admit to one another that we're not okay, and then to seek healing and reconciliation together in community. And I would add that we try to do it in a way that is honest and true, but not shameful, and not too personal in front of too many people. We have to keep a balance. We are Presbyterian. We have to do this decently and in order. Rachel Held Evans then asked an important question that says something like this: but why do we confess our sins and say that we're not okay, and then turn around and when someone asks, "How are you?" "We're fine. Everything's fine." She said, "I suspect this habit stems from the same impulse that told me I should drop a few pounds before I joined the Y. The same impulse that Nadia refers to as the long and rich Christian tradition, which in Latin is called totally faking it. The truth is, we think church is for people living in the after picture. We think church is for the healthy, even though Jesus told us time and again that he came to minister to the sick. And so we fake it. And we pretend like we don't need anybody's help and that we're not afraid. Unfortunately, it usually takes some big tragic event for us to let our guard down and let others in. Usually because we're so busy taking care of the big tragic event that we don't have the energy to fake it anymore. And the truth is, we're all broken. We are all sinners. And we all need God's grace. In Robert Morgan's book, This Rock, Muir is leading his brother's funeral, and he says, "All of you that knew my brother Moody knew he was not perfect. He had his faults. We all have our faults. And he had his weaknesses. He was a sinner, as each and every one of us is a sinner. And if the church was only for the saints and the sanctified, there wouldn't be anybody left. And if heaven was only for the spotless and the righteous, it would be empty. The good news, the gospel, is that there is grace for us all, forgiveness for us all, and love for us all. Not just for the pious and perfect, but for the liars also, for the cheaters and the doubters and the violent and them who are torn by anger and fear and hate. Moody taught me that we can learn from our mistakes, that we can grow and act on the better part of our nature, that we can change and learn to forgive, that we can go beyond our failures." Religion journalist Kathleen Falsani was covering Pope Francis's visit to New York City in 2013. She shared this confessional encounter. It was a couple of hours before the Pope was to say Mass in Madison Square Garden. She was there to cover it, and she was going between different areas and different floors, and she came across the area that was set aside for confession. So she went up to a priest, and she said, "Brace yourself, Father." And he said, "It's all fine. Think of it as a big embrace of forgiveness from your heavenly Father." And she continues, "Okay, I tried to warn you," I thought. "Let me see if I remember how this goes," I began. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 35 years since my last confession." He tried not to look startled, and he almost pulled it off. "Well, I'm glad you're here," he said, smiling kindly. "I explained that my family left the Catholic Church when I was 10 years old, not long after I made my first communion, that I'd been Protestant and Anglican ever since. He didn't ask me why I decided to participate in the sacrament of reconciliation inside the home of the Knicks. I appreciated that, as I was unsure how to answer it. I don't know why exactly, I just did. He didn't ask me whether I wanted to return to the church. He simply asked me about my life. He listened and extended God's forgiveness. I've probably spent more time in Catholic churches in the last 20 years as a religion journalist than I ever did when I was an active practicing Catholic. In recent years, particularly when I'm in Rome, and especially since Pope Francis became pontiff, I felt a pull toward the confessional. As a journalist, I've watched people go into the confessional, come out a few minutes later looking somehow refreshed, relieved. I don't believe that I need an intermediary to ask God's forgiveness. But there's something powerful about owning my own gnarliest mistakes and worst missteps and telling someone I yearned for forgiveness for them. Friday was my birthday. I suppose part of me wanted a fresh start, a new beginning. And I wanted to see if that extra spring in people's step that I've observed on occasion when they leave the confessional was an actual thing. It is, by the way. The kind Franciscan was patient and good-natured. He listened. He didn't judge. He encouraged me to think about forgiveness, and not simply how I can receive it, but how I can extend it to others. He asked me if I needed forgiveness, or if there was anyone I should forgive. A lump appeared in my throat. "Yes," I said, "there is." "Who?" he asked. I told him. I felt tears welling in my eyes. "Would you like to ask for forgiveness now?" "Yes." He asked me to say out loud that I asked for forgiveness. To say out loud that I forgave the person by name for what she had done to me. And that saying it would be like taking the knife out of a wound so it could heal. So God could heal it. I did. I confessed. I asked for forgiveness. I forgave her. He offered me absolution. And for my penance, he asked me to meditate on the story of Jesus' baptism. When a dove appeared and the crowd who'd watched John dunk Jesus into the river heard God's voice say, "This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." He asked me whether I knew why God said that out loud so other people could hear it. I admitted I didn't. "Jesus presumably already knew that," he said. "So why did God say it so others could hear it, write it down, and include it in the Bible?" "I'm not sure," I said. "For you," he said. "God God feels that way about all of God's children, the priest said. It's something I've heard all my life, but I never tire of hearing it again. As I got up to leave, I thanked him for taking the time and for his kindness. Maybe don't wait another 35 years to do this again, he said, grinning. Don't you feel great? Like you've just gotten a huge hug from God? I did feel great. Lighter somehow. Unburdened. Confession can come in many forms. A corporate prayer of confession, a spoken confession to a priest or minister, words shouted or whispered in the privacy of our own room, even a sigh or a meditative silent prayer. In whatever form it comes, I believe that confession is vital to our well-being. Even if we are moral good people, we all have things we have done, things we have left undone. And holding on to that guilt and the burden of those things only hurts us, those around us, and God. Confessing them, however, releases them and opens the way for healing and wholeness. Barbara Brown Taylor said, "Sin is our only hope because the recognition that something is wrong is the first step towards setting it right again." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, this is the good news. Let us pray.